You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
We love you. We're back in the same room again.
Yeah.
Which is why we are crushing these intros.
Lovely. Okay, Katie was like, I'm going to come to LA mm-hmm. and we're going to record 6 episodes. And I was like, you're fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. There's no way. But she's come here and she's brought the New York and we're on our 4th episode.
Maybe 5th. Who knows? It could be a double episode.
And we've got 3 more, baby.
Guys, we're not stopping. When I'm away from my child, I'm a wild woman.
I was like, Katie, are you going to do any vacation while you're here?
No.
And she was like, this is my vacation.
This is my vacation. I don't have to worry about like picking things up, cleaning diapers, you know, am I having fun and should I not be because there's a kid about to fall down a couple stairs.
Yeah,
no,
the patriarchy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just having fun. It's so great. This is my vacation, working really hard.
I love that. It's and nice. Even yesterday I was like, I am not used to this New York work ethic.
I know, Sue.
And I'm when slipping.
Sue's, she is. Guys, remember, because avid listeners will know that Sue has multiple times complained about how slow shit is in LA.
Yeah, and I'm getting soft.
She's getting soft.
And I can't, when the temperature drops below 55.
She wants to stay inside.
Well, I do. This is almost our 1-year anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah.
A whole year. And to be honest, most things don't last a year.
You had no hope. You had no faith.
I had hope, but like project. Jeez, Katie. I had faith. I had like 5-year down the line hope, but then yeah. There was that like
we had a bump.
Feeling.
Yeah.
No, not even
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
In life, projects I've worked on die in a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we were first shopping this podcast around, I was like, oh no, like nobody
loves
likes us. Nobody
yeah.
loves us.
We got a lot of no's.
We got a lot of no's. Then we got a lot of yeses. Then we got a lot of terrible reviews.
Uh-huh. Hey, we're still getting
those. But we're still going.
Yeah.
Also because Sue's husband asked us yesterday, are you guys sick of scams? And no.
No.
No is the answer.
Never.
I am so heated more.
I want to know about more scams.
Also yeah. that people now in my life don't trust me as much because they think I'm a con
You're
artist.
You're a con artist, yeah.
I'm like, okay, I am. You know, fine.
But I think there's so many different types of scams and mm-hmm. they're so varied and there's like your multi-level marketing, your
yes.
cult, your...
Your creepy fortune teller.
Like your GoFundMe. Yes. Yeah.
You guys do wield a strange power, though, now that you've researched this on like a journalistic level.
Yes.
You
Thank
know
you. I do.
The insides of
really
how
do.
To pull these scams off.
I will also give you some advice. If you want to pull a con, I
yeah.
know really
yeah.
what you should do. You have to have an offshore bank account.
Yeah.
Number one, if you're going to be in the scam industry, 100%. You've got to get an offshore bank account.
Don't use styrofoam plates at your event.
Don't use styrofoam plates. Styrofoam plates will create
a scam right away.
It'll create a Twitter
Remember
war.
The Fyre Festival. Remember Kanye's brunch.
Brunch.
Yes.
You guys stay away from styrofoam. You also
offshore
need
banks, styrofoam.
A blonde wife.
A blonde wife. She's like your cover.
That's key. You need a blonde wife to look happy, successful.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Well, but we only use our powers for good, though. So
we do. We only use our powers for good. And then sometimes, like, convincing our husbands to do things for us.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean.
But who does it?
Marriage is a scam. Let's be honest.
Anyway. Guys, speaking of marriage is a scam.
He's married. He's our guest.
Our guest, guys. I love our guest so much. I've known him for maybe 13 years.
Wow.
2007?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Please welcome to our stage.
Yes.
James Coker.
Yay.
Yay. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. 2007?
James and I were in improv together.
Yeah.
Remember that scene with dancing across? I still remember it. We were like.
Who was the teacher?
What level?
We've been in a ton of levels together.
Really?
Yeah, we were.
I love James so much. And when James was working at 30 Rock. This isn't.
That's fun. Let's talk about
it. It's just so fun. So James was Alec Baldwin's personal assistant.
You were?
I was his personal PA, his production assistant on season 4 of 30.
Shut up. James has had so many lives. I feel like I'm always learning new things about him.
So many lives. James was so sweet. I got to be an extra.
Yeah, you got to be an extra. And then we
got on 30 Rock.
Yeah, we got a tour of the stages.
James Jamie's tour of the stages. I was freaking out.
That's so cool.
So happy.
Yeah. While everybody else was having to sit on stage one,
yeah.
I was like, I took you and your husband.
I know.
And
anyway,
I was like, come on, let's go.
And I got to see Liz Lemon's office.
Ooh. Yeah.
It was still one of the best days of my life.
Was it in, did they film in Kaufman and Astoria?
Yes.
Silver Cup.
Silver Cup.
So in Astoria, though.
Got it.
Yeah. Long Island City, Astoria. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And
but it's like such a gray area when Long Island City ends and Astoria.
Who knows?
Starts,
and how long were you his personal PA?
For like a season and a half.
Yeah.
That was like my first job out of college as I was a production assistant on 30 Rock. And at first I was just like their everyday additional production assistant.
Sure.
And then.
You worked your ass off there too.
Yeah. It was long hours. And then season 3, I got hired full time. And so I was there season 3, 4, 5. And then I eventually left because it was just, it was long hours. And for a long time, I thought I wanted to be an assistant director in TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, It was too much for me. I got burned out.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So what season did Alec Baldwin take a shine to you?
It was season 3. Mm-hmm. His personal PA got promoted to the being the writer's PA.
Oh. And, that's huge, though. That's a huge deal.
And he recommended me.
Yeah.
And so I went and met Alec. And
I love it.
Is there any candid stories you can share?
No.
I don't know if I is there anything I can share on this podcast, but he some people think he has like a really bad reputation, but he is really good and loyal to the people that work for him.
Yeah.
He's really generous too.
Yes.
I remember he gave all the writers like these amazing handbags.
Yes.
For one Christmas. My friend's a writer. Was a writer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one time when I couldn't afford to go home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I like told his hair and makeup artists, the stylist. I was like, I just offhandedly said, they asked me what I was doing for Christmas. I'm like, oh, I'm staying here. Like, prices are expensive to go home.
Yeah.
And he just bought me a plane ticket so I could go see my parents.
So that's so sweet.
He was doing his podcast when I read my audiobook.
Really?
When I was
really?
Recording my audiobook, he was in the other room and I was like, oh my God, it's like
that's cool.
Old one.
That's so funny.
Yeah, he also bought me my first iPhone.
Okay.
No.
Because when I was first working on the show, I had one of those old Nokia brick phones that had like snake on it and stuff.
Yes.
And it was like being held together with duct tape.
Yeah.
And there'd be times when he'd ask me to like call his assistant or someone else and then hand the phone over. And I think the real reason he bought me the iPhone is I think he was so embarrassed to actually be talking
holding
on a Nokia phone.
Yeah.
That he never wanted to like have a picture taken with it. So he like wrote me this letter and was like, you should be embarrassed of yourself. Or you should be ashamed of yourself with a brand new iPhone.
No.
That's so cute.
And when my dad passed away, segue to what we're gonna talk about today. When my dad passed away, he wrote me a very thoughtful note. And I hadn't seen him in a few years. And he just wrote me a note saying, you know, I'm so sorry to hear about your father.
Oh,
yeah.
I like him.
That's nice. Before we get into it, I want to also say that aside from being a personal PA on 30 Rock, you may know him from your TV as the Spectrum guy.
Yes.
Guys.
He has a huge national campaign right now for Spectrum.
Yeah.
He's all over it.
It makes me so happy.
I know.
Every time I see it, the whole family's like, we know, you know James. I'm like, there's James.
Well, when someone like you audition with all the time actually lands something and gets something big, it just makes you feel so good because you're like, oh, it happened.
Yeah.
It's been really fun. It's just, you know, a couple dudes hanging out, talking about their love for internet and cable bundles.
Yes.
That's the dream.
So good for you.
Well, so James is a comedian.
Yes.
An actor.
See.
And is that what you, after like doing the assistant directing stuff, you're like, I think I like this more?
I think it was just like, it was a super slow transition. I studied business in college. I was a business major and I didn't realize I wanted to work.
So you're smart. Okay. We get it.
We get it. That smart. Well, Austin also studied business. So.
Yeah.
Not that
he's smart. He's smart.
I was an international business major, which just meant you had to also take a language.
What?
Oh, yeah. What language do you speak?
Spanish, but not very well.
Porquito.
But I like 3 months before I graduated, there was this thing that came to college, Rollins College, called Campus Movie Fest. Uh-huh. And they gave everybody a camera and a laptop. And you had a week to make a short.
Oh, cool.
And then I made like a 5-minute short and it won out of like 70 entries.
Wow.
And I was like, this is really fun. And then I started doing research about what, because I think I originally like, you know, like everybody wanted to be on like SNL or something like that.
Always,
so, and then I realized a lot of people took classes at UCB. So I'm like, oh, but I also like working in production. So I was going to try both.
Yeah.
And I worked in production for a long time thinking I wanted to be an AD, but then I started taking more and more improv classes and doing sketch. And I just enjoyed
that's
that
That's a drug
more.
You can't quit.
It's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where's Rollins?
Talk about scams.
Well, and we haven't yet. We're like waiting. It's been our Google Doc. We're
it's
like,
been on our list for the last year to cover improv comedy, but we just can't. We don't have the heart to do it.
You can't bite the hand that feeds you. No.
UCB does not support the opinions on this show.
Okay, Anoush is a company man.
Okay, Anoush, we get it.
The brand is watching. Always watching.
Yeah, you can cut that part out.
I love it. Keep it forever. It's so funny.
Matt Walsh has a live feed of this podcast that he's watching.
It's
around
got a kill
the
button.
Clock. Yeah.
It's is amazing.
Oh, but yeah.
Where's Rollins College?
It's in Winter Park, Florida, so it's just outside Orlando.
You're from Florida?
I'm from Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. So from Dallas. Mm-hmm. A town called Highland Park, which is right in the middle of Dallas.
I feel like there's a ton of Highland Parks in every state.
There is. There's one here.
There's
one
so
in
many.
New Jersey.
Yeah, I think there's one in Maryland. There's a lot of Highland Parks.
It's a very popular name.
Okay. Sorry, not to negate where you were from.
And then I went to a boarding school in New Jersey for my last 2 years of high school.
Oh, cool.
Near Princeton, called Lawrenceville. And then I went to College of Rollins and then moved to New York right afterwards.
Got it.
Guys, I listened to like 15 episodes of the podcast.
You did?
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh,
you guys are so great.
Thank you.
And I was so grateful that I was able to get to do an episode where all you guys are in the room.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you guys get to be in the room together,
it's
the chemistry is just so much better.
We make magic. And
Marshall and I have tried doing it. We've been working on different ideas for podcasts, but because he's in New York and I'm in San Francisco and then sometimes down here in LA, you know, doing it on Zencaster or Skype or whatever, the delay
Zoom.
Is so hard. To establish any sort of rapport.
It's really hard. I plug in my Wi-Fi. So it's not Wi-Fi. So it's like Ethernet. You know what I mean? So then the delay is a little bit less.
Yeah.
Also, we do hand signals. We like go like this and we go like, my turn next.
Nice.
And then we have the guest and we're like, oh, do you see the hand signals? It's Sue. And and we do all of our own editing so that we like chop shit up and make it sound, even though it's not
as
good.
We've really like gotten...
I was so against editing at first. I
you
was
were?
So af-
remember, oh, you
I couldn't
hated
do it.
It. Yeah.
I was so afraid. And then once I got the key, I was like, that's it.
Yeah. And I think you guys are so good at keeping things light because a lot of the scams you guys talk about get
so
super
sad.
We just
my favorite's the eating disorder. Jonestown. Love
oh my
it.
God, Jonestown.
The guy with the trunk, don't get trunk.
Yeah.
Oh my
the
god.
H.H. Holmes.
The Jonestown
Daddy
one.
Fox.
The Jonestown one was so sad. And the Purity Ball one.
Yes.
And it's just like you guys are so good about oh my gosh. That's amazing.
So funny.
I just pulled out a Daddy Fucks t-shirt.
Yeah.
They're on our T Public scam podcast on T Public.
We're wearing it on our show too.
Yeah. So you guys are really good about like trying to like make like really dark situations light.
Yeah,
or
like, fun.
Yeah, for sure.
With the saddest shit ever.
We were talking before this, and we were like, our favorite episodes are like Jonestown, our
the
eating
deepest.
Disorder.
Jonestown's
yes.
a good one.
Yeah,
that's such a fascinating
shit.
Story.
Yeah. We love that dark
and
shit.
The one that I was super impressed with was the one when you guys recorded separately.
Yeah.
And you did a deep dive about the Jeff Epstein thing. Oh, my God. When I was listening to it, I'm like, oh, my God. Sue did so much research about the Jeff Epstein suicide / murder. Who would we don't know.
I was, like, literally hit Pizzagate. But like, I went so far down.
You were, like, a real journalist.
I know.
Well, we get a lot of comments of people saying that we don't do enough
research. We're not real journalists.
So that kind of propels us forward.
We get comments where they're like, don't read Wikipedia. And we're like, all right, bitch, send me an article then. Yeah. Where else do you find it?
Just tell in your voice... when you were talking about the Jeff Epstein stuff, I could just tell in the tone of your voice that you had to go to some very dark places to find this information.
I was
obsessed. I thought it was so fascinating then, like, hearing that.
Yeah.
And, it was, and because we were then listened afterwards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We weren't together.
And then I think in the same episode, when you started recording your part, your family was asleep. So it was like,
she's like
you were having a whisper. So it was like you were, like, in hiding. And you're like, okay, now it's, like, my turn to do the podcast. And, like, I don't know if anyone can hear me right now. And I'm just so scared.
Jeffrey Epstein's ghost is watching me.
He's not even dead.
He's not dead. We don't know.
We don't know if he's dead.
He could be your delivery guy.
And I know, like, you were talking like that, but for a totally different context.
Yes.
But it felt like it was in direct Part reaction to what Sue was talking about.
Oh, then it was on purpose. You know what? Then it was on purpose. And it was artistic.
Of course.
On purpose.
I love it.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice.
Thank you. That's funny. Now, when I listen to the Daily and or any of those morning news scams sometimes or podcasts, sometimes I hear the correspondents whispering and I'm like, I wonder if they're Skyping in their homes and their families are like in the background.
Yes, because they are.
Because it's like early morning, you know, when they're getting those news podcasts up.
Right.
Oh, yeah. God, I love it. Well, thank you. That's so nice.
Of course.
Thank
you. And I also bought your book last week because I wanted.
Oh, my God. He stands.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice. That's nice. Come on, Anosh. You're next. You got to buy the book next.
I'm very excited to read it. Make sure you guys pick it up. Dangerous Boobies.
Yes.
By Caitlin Brodick with a foreword by Rachel Bloom.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. We should have you on every episode.
This is the perfect guest. We're just going to keep replaying this intro on every episode before we start the show. We're going to be like, and James Coker is our intro guy.
Man, we should put music underneath this.
Yes.
like
this is also going to be our special Patreon. Like, you want a Patreon episode? It's just James over and over again.
Also, the music. I don't know how you guys picked the music for it, but it's so good.
It's one. Thank it's you. From Sounds Like an Earful. It's just one track that we use.
It's amazing.
And it's these things, and you can, like, you pay for it, and you say, like, if it's a nonprofit, profit, this podcast, whatever.
$5.
It's really cheap. And it's like a Halloween one.
Yeah, it's a Halloween.
It set such a good tone for the podcast. And also, I feel like it makes me feel like I'm listening to, like, This American Life or, like, Serial. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I'm listening to Prestige Radio.
Yes.
Two crazy ladies.
Prestige.
Skyping because they miss each other. It's prestigious.
Very we are very prestigious.
Love it.
Oh,
okay, you're from Texas.
Yes.
Okay. Your dad died.
Right.
Guys, let's really focus on why we're here.
I know a little bit about what the scam is.
This is how every first date went for me. So you're from Texas.
Your dad died.
Yeah.
My dad passed away in 2011.
Okay, oh, I'm sorry.
So, no, it's all right. I told Caitlin this morning that I was going to talk about my dad as my favorite scammer. And she's like, you sure you want to do that? I'm like, oh, yeah, he's been dead for like 8 years. It's all good.
Yeah. My dad's dead too, 2004.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Aneurysm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My dad had a glioblastoma.
What's that?
It's a tumor in your brain. Oh. So he had like a golf ball sized tumor, which was removed.
Yeah.
And then he lived for like another year and a half, two after that. But the way the recovery happens when people have tumors removed from their brain, a lot of times it's not linear. It's like up and down.
Yeah.
So the last like year and a half, 2 years of his life, there'd be days where he would be totally coherent. You could have a conversation with him. He'd get out of bed, shower himself, dress himself. And then there'd be days where he like couldn't move.
Yeah. My dad had his aorta replaced 10 years before he died. And he was a chain smoker. He smoked minimum 3 packs a day, which is disgusting. And his doctor told him if he didn't stop smoking that the aorta would only last him 10 years. And he was like, that's not an option. And then exactly 10 years later, he had an aneurysm. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, so many years did he smoke that
hard? That's a good doctor.
At least my whole life. So at least 25, 30 years.
Oh, I thought you were saying your dad said that's not an option for the aorta. Like, I thought he was like tough talking the aorta into working more.
Aorta, you fight harder.
I control my own aorta. Thank you very much.
My aorta's a badass aorta. You don't know nothing, Doc.
No, it wasn't an option to stop smoking.
Wow.
He wouldn't stop smoking, and then it lasted him 10 years. And I always think about this is dark. I always think about whether it's like the sudden, because his was sudden, or like the prolonged illness. Which one is like worse? But I think the prolonged one is like harder.
I think it's harder.
Yeah, I think that one's harder.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I gotta say this before I start anything, just in case like I have any family members who listen to
yes.
this or anybody who knew my dad. If any of these facts or stories that I'm saying are wrong, feel free to reach out to me and correct me.
Yeah.
This is just what I have been told.
And, as a son.
And don't feel guilty about whatever you're going to say. My dad, when I was cleaning out his house, I found anal beads in his house.
Hell
so
yeah.
like, and I tell everybody that. So don't feel guilty about what you're going
to
say.
Don't feel bad because Sue's dad used anal beads.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
That's the message of the story.
I also think like we are all like biased narrators of our own stories.
Yeah.
So like it's all through like a lens where so like, you know, the truth that I perceive to be might be different from what someone else
is
perceiving.
Also, I feel like the truth that you were told to, like, certain things also when you're told a story is because somebody has a bias or they're upset or they're cranky and it might have not been that exact thing, but there's no judgment.
All right, we're going to get right into it.
Yeah,
so, my dad, like, grew up on a small farm in West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
His dad left him when he was 3. Mm. He had a mentorship with this guy named Robert Nail, who was like a minister and a music teacher in the town, who told him about this boarding school called Lawrenceville. And it used to be a feeder school for Princeton.
And that's where you went.
And that's where I went.
Okay.
And so, you know, my dad probably, if he hadn't known this man, would probably have gone to like SMU or, Trinity, which is a smaller school in Texas, or something like that, and then like worked in oil and had sort of, you know, a very typical life for someone who grows up in West Texas,
linear.
In rural West Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the rich part?
No.
Okay.
No. Wait, what do you mean? What's the rich part?
I mean, I just mean like work in oil.
Oh, I don't know. He might have.
That sounds like rich. Is that what people do there?
I don't know. It depends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It depends on like what level you're working at. Uh-huh. But, instead, he had this mentorship with this guy who told him about this school. And so he went to this boarding school in New Jersey for 2 years and was like a stud there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like captain of the football team. He got into Yale and was captain of his freshman team at Yale and then played like all 4 years
football
at Yale. And this was like in the 50s, like 51 to 55. My dad was really old when I was born. He's like 52 when I was born.
Oh, okay.
So he was in engineering. He studied engineering. He then went into the Marines after Yale, and then moved back to Texas, got married, had 4 kids from his first marriage, and like first started in construction, and then eventually started working in real estate development, and then became over the years became very successful and very wealthy. Like when I was born. And this is all what I've been told. I could be totally wrong about these figures, but I've been told that like when I was born, my dad was worth something around like $50 million.
Whoa. And that's in the 80s. That's
a lot
of money.
It was like 84. Yeah.
So,
it's gorgeous. I love that amount. I'm so happy for you.
I love that journey for you.
But he was like an eccentric guy. He was sort of a loner. He didn't like working with other people. And the story I've been told is that he was ambitious and wanted more and more. So he would borrow money against his own assets to fund more projects.
Oh.
And then there was like a real estate crash in the late 80s. And then he like lost everything. And because my dad didn't have any friends, no one was going to bail him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't clear bankruptcy because he had like too much pride.
Yeah.
And so like my family like lost everything. So when I was like 6 or 7, we lived in this unbelievable house on like the nicest street in one of the nicest towns. Like Highland Park is like the Greenwich, Connecticut of Texas.
Okay.
Like, it might as well be Darien or what New Canaan or Greenwich or something like that.
I don't know any of that.
The rich people where Martha Stewart lives.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's so we lived in this amazing house on this incredible street. And then, like, when I was like 6 or 7 or something like that, they lost everything.
And was your mom his first wife? Or?
My mom was my dad's third wife.
Whoa.
Blonde.
Blonde, you need it. Yeah. You always need it.
My mom was like the classic like trophy wife. So mm-hmm. my mom had been married once before, but she was she lived in London for 8 years, was married to a barrister there, and then got a divorce, moved back and started over and like worked in real estate. And she like lived in the building, a condo building that my dad helped build.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And did she have you, your brother?
Yeah, me and my brother.
And just two?
Yeah.
And but then, your dad had four?
Yeah, he had four children from his first marriage.
Okay. Any from his second?
No.
Okay.
So his second wife and my mom were very aesthetically similar. They were both like mm-hmm. beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed yeah. women. Mm-hmm. My mom was a model. She was on the cover of Cosmopolitan in the UK.
Sure.
Yeah. God.
Do you have pictures?
Not readily.
On you?
Like,
do you have pictures on you?
Yeah, my wallet.
Your mom's a total MILF.
I think my dad, at the point when he lost everything, you know, he was probably in his mid to late 50s. Had too much pride to like go back to work for someone
yeah.
else.
Oh. For sure.
So he spent the remainder of his life and my childhood like looking for like that one big score.
Okay.
And was trying to like shoot for the moon instead of like doing something safe
and
like
steady.
providing an income for our family. So
you at 7 years old went from like a dad who had 50 million to then
yeah.
nothing? Did you guys have to leave your
did
house?
Did you move?
Yeah. So what we did is the bank took the house because they only like, I think, had half of it paid off mm-hmm. and were paying like, you know, crazy monthly yeah. mortgage payments. So I spent the rest of my childhood. My parents did not want to leave that town.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We would lease a house for like a year or two that was like on the market. And then when they sold the house, we would move to another house. And so wow. I think I lived in like 11 houses in my childhood, but all in the same town.
Oh my gosh.
But the entire time when I was a kid, my parents wanted to keep up appearances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they just lied out of their teeth. It's like, it reminds me when you guys were talking about the Chrisley Knows Best family
yes.
in that episode.
Yes.
It was the exact same thing yeah. where like they had like an insane amount of debt, were living hand to mouth,
yeah.
but like were trying to put up this image, this facade of being wealthy, successful people.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom drove like a Rolls Royce till I was like 12.
What?
You've gotta. I mean
you gotta.
You gotta. She's
it was,
blonde.
And it was a British Rolls Royce, so the steering wheel was like on the right side.
Really? Yeah. That's so dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like there'd always be double takes because like there'd be a kid sitting in the front left seat. Or like we have like a dog in the lap and people would think like a dog was driving the
oh
car
gosh.
Or something like that.
That's
how
comedy.
Did he keep
okay.
this up?
That's why James is a comedian.
Yeah, exactly. I got a lot of baggage.
There was a dog in the other seat.
So we would like over my childhood we moved to like smaller each house every year would get like smaller
sure.
and smaller.
Yeah.
But they'd be like holding on to like all the nice things they used to own. So like we essentially
crowded.
Became like hoarders.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if you've ever seen Running with Scissors.
No, I didn't.
Great movie, but Brian Cox.
I read the book.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Brian in the movie, Brian Cox plays like the therapist who eventually like loses his license,
mm-hmm.
and they live in this like beautiful mansion that's like run down and dilapidated, and it was very similar to that.
We're gonna take a quick little break for a word from our sponsors.
This is insane. The FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients for their feminine care products, so most of them don't. That's insane.
That's so insane.
And you don't want to hear anything on your box that says like may contain or possibly could contain. No, you just want to know what is in it because we need to use these. We're not fucking around. We're women taking
you
over.
You
want to
know what's in that box before you put it in your box.
Yes, 100%.
That's what I always say.
That's what she always says. Mm-hmm. Oh, also guys, Lola is made by women for women.
That's great. And Lola is making an impact. Every time you choose Lola, you're supporting a brand that gives back to women in need. To date, Lola has donated over 2 million period products and counting. That gives me chills. It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Through their charity partner, I Support the Girls. And in 2019, this very year, Lola launched Tax-Free Period, a groundbreaking advocacy campaign with Period Equity, the nation's first law and policy organization devoted to fighting for menstrual equality.
That's amazing.
This November, they announced the tampon tax protest, which is the first step in initiating lawsuits in the 33 states that still have a tax on period products, like it's a luxury.
Yeah, like it's
I hate
fun.
That.
It's fun, you guys. We're just having a great time.
Oh, we want this period.
Okay. Personally, I've loved it. I love that, like, this little box, even their sampler pack, has everything that you could need. Because honestly, I don't know what I need day to day, so I like variety. I like to have a bunch of options.
Totally. And you know me, I always forget to go to the store, so half the time I'm stuck in the toilet with not a tampon in sight. Not with Lola, you guys. They deliver, and it's a subscription service, and they make it so easy that, like, I am never on the toilet with not a tampon in sight anymore, and it's great.
Thank God.
Thank God. And also, I personally believe that, like, it's easy to feel powerless in our economy right now, and one of the ways that you do have power over everything that's happening in the world is to use your money and put your money behind companies that are doing good. And Lola is doing so much good in the world for women everywhere, so I think it's so important to support this brand. They're a great brand.
Yes. Guys, we have an amazing promo code. It's a huge promo code. Usually it's like a couple dollar, like usually promo codes are like 5-10%, but ours is enormous. I love our promo code.
You can get 30% off your trial set today. So like 30% of $5 is $1.50. So it would be $3.50. So visit mylola.com and enter scam 30 to redeem your offer.
Yes, guys, get that cheap period product.
Do it.
Yeah. Guys, we have another really cool ad where I'm already a big fan of it. So while you're searching for books this Christmas, you're already looking to buy everybody Dangerous Boobies. I know, humble
brag.
Of
course.
You're also looking to get things for kids. And there's this new book that we got introduced to called The Bravest Knight Who Ever Lived by Daniel Errico. And it's a kid's book that follows the journey of a young pumpkin farmer named Cedric on his way to achieve his dream of becoming a knight. And it is so sweet.
It's so sweet. It stars an openly gay protagonist, which is great. I want kids to know that.
Yeah, it's about time. So it's a book and also a Hulu series. You can watch it on Hulu.
Yeah, and some of our favorite people star on the Hulu series. And the Hulu series is called The Bravest Knight. Some of our favorite people are on it, like Bobby Moynihan, who was my very first improv teacher ever.
The nicest person in the world, and he plays a little troll who's so funny.
A troll named Grunt, which is perfect for him.
Perfect.
Sorry. RuPaul, who we also love, Wanda Sykes, Christine Baranski, T.R. Knight, Wilson Cruz, and so many more.
AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys.
Oh my God. I'm so glad he has work. So the book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or wherever you get books.
And the show's available right now on Hulu. I just watched it with my son. He thought it was so fun.
Aw.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it by myself as a grown woman.
That is also a really fun thing to do.
Okay.
It works for everybody.
Wow. And so later in life, I don't think my dad was ever a bad person. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was ever out trying to scam anyone with, like, no moral compass. I think he was just desperate.
Yeah.
And I think he was...
He sounds like he was in a hard situation.
Yeah. Mm. I think he was desperate, and I think he was like, oh, if I just do this thing and then I make money, I can then make things right.
Mm. Okay.
So one of the things that happened was... Got to backtrack for a second. My dad's first marriage, he had three daughters and a son. My dad's name is James Coker. He named his son James Coker.
But your name is James Coker.
That is correct.
Wow.
So they weren't very close.
Yeah.
And they didn't get along. Most of that is my dad's fault.
Yeah.
Probably all of it is my dad's fault.
Mm-hmm.
He just was an emotionally absent father.
Yeah.
But for that reason, when he married my mom and had me, he also named me James.
Wow.
And
did he sort of negate his first son in his mind?
I don't know. Like, they had a weird relationship, but it was probably entirely my dad's fault.
Yeah.
But it was like he was pressing the reset button on his son.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his wife, it sounds like, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was super fucked up. Yeah. And I'm the reset, so it's no pressure.
Oh,
right.
You
better
hard.
Be the good James Coker.
Yeah. I was the reincarnation of my dead aunt, so I get it.
Really?
Yeah, you'll read about it.
I do. I tell a joke. Sometimes when I do shows where I prep that story, I'm like, yeah, I was hanging out with my brother a few years ago, and I'm like, listen, I know it's weird we have the same name, so you can call me whatever you want. And he goes, thanks, replacement James.
Oh.
But that never happened.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
damn.
But yeah, my dad's like the white George Foreman.
Damn. Yeah.
If you don't get a reference, he named all his kids George or Georgina.
Yeah. But were you, you're not James the second.
No. So
same name.
That's hard. Is that weird for you when you get mail?
Yeah. So
basically, yes.
So I had to tell you that because towards the end of his life, my dad took out a loan using my brother's social security number. It's because they both have the name James Coker. Mm-hmm. And they have the same middle initial. It's not the same middle name, but the same middle initial. Wow. So he took out like a $10,000 loan. And my brother, I think, was like buying something or doing a credit check. And they're like, you have this $10,000 outstanding loan. And he's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And then he eventually pieced everything together.
How old was he when he found this out?
My brother was like in his 40s or 50s or
something
like that.
That's so stressful.
And he has four kids. He has four daughters who were like going through college and stuff.
Wow.
8 years ago, my now wife, but we were just dating at the time, we applied for, we filled out a lease application for an apartment. Mm-hmm. And it bounced back and they said, you have something on your record saying that you have like a lien against your name or something like that for not paying like a year's worth of rent on a house in Dallas, Texas. And I was like, okay, can you give me the address for that? Mm-hmm. And they tell me, and I'm like, I was like 13 years old when that happened. So my dad presumably filled out lease applications with my social security number using the name James Coker.
When you were a kid.
When I was a kid. And the only reason I got it taken out of my report was I called the landlord because I knew he was still in Dallas. He was a lawyer. He couldn't have not have been nicer about it.
Yeah.
He wrote a notarized letter immediately to the management company saying this was this guy's father. This was not him. He was a kid then.
And it's illegal at 13 to lease to a child.
Yeah. Well,
right?
I might have been 14. I don't know.
Still, but yeah. You can't even for his side too, legally, he knows you can't lease a house to a child.
Totally. And so like I almost got to the point where like couldn't have gotten an apartment in New York City. I couldn't have even rented an apartment in New York City.
Wow.
Damn.
He then like got really I like to think he's sort of like the character of Royal Tenenbaum, if you ever seen it. He was like was once like super prestigious.
Yeah.
And then
so hard.
And later in life just like got super, super desperate.
Mm-hmm. Can I just clarify? So he had done to make his money, he'd done like real estate stuff and so
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Good deals.
And then
decisions.
That just kind of dried up.
Yes.
The crash.
Yeah.
He lost it.
Like he built Medical City, which is a big hospital in Dallas.
Okay.
He helped build this shopping mall called the Olipa Drita.
Okay.
And he was very successful with other people, but then when he tried to venture out on his own, I think is when like things went south. He made a lot of bad investments. He like bought a music company that I'm pretty sure they cooked the books to make it look more profitable than it was.
And he didn't get the signs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Because if you're not in the industry and you're just buying a music company, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then later in life, he started like doing a lot of these what felt like get rich quick schemes that weren't necessarily illegal, but sketchy. There's this thing that happens right now called senior life policy settlements, where you can buy an older person who wants cash now, you can buy their life insurance policy
from an old person.
From them?
Yes, and so
he's
like
still
you
alive.
Can, so you can pay them money, and then when they die, you are the beneficiary of their life insurance.
Oh,
and you can, and that is a thing that's perfectly legal.
Right.
I just wouldn't say it's ethical.
Dark.
Or comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm not very. I don't feel very good about
it's
it
so dark.
And so that became a thing that like he pursued, and then he also had this thing
that's
called
so dark.
I love your dad. He's great. I like him.
He also had this thing called taillights.
What's that?
Okay.
Which were light up scrunchies.
He invented them.
I don't know if he invented them,
lights,
but
like ponytail lights.
Yeah. Which I think he like either bought the rights to them or like partnered with this person. But I remember when he died and I was going through the storage unit, like you found anal beads.
Yeah.
I found boxes and boxes of light up scrunchies.
I don't know what's worse.
That's amazing. Kylie Jenner's going to sell those next.
She better.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And then also when he passed away, we're pretty sure that he had been having a relationship on the side in Columbus, Ohio.
What?
Because he would like always go to Columbus on quote unquote business.
Mm-hmm. But you're like, Dad, what's your fucking business?
Yeah, what's your business? He's like, oh, we're working on some stuff over there. But like, after he passed away, I found there were certain like clothing items that I was looking for, and I think they're all in a closet somewhere in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow.
Whoa.
So I think he had like, you know, something going on up there.
And you don't, there's no, nobody reached out to you guys after he passed to have any evidence?
Someone did, and I think this person offered to give it to us in exchange for his work BlackBerry. She like wanted it back.
Oh, because there's sexy pictures.
I don't know. But,
I don't know. I don't want to get
it. But you didn't do it?
I think my mom was like, no, I'm keeping this BlackBerry. I don't know. It was like some weird thing.
Oh my God, I want to know more about this secret family.
My dad just also like had a habit of like borrowing money and like ruining relationships that way.
Yeah.
Like he borrowed money from his mom earlier, like before I was ever born I might have been young. Mm-hmm. And I don't think with any intention of really paying her back.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle, his brother, you know, was under the impression that he took advantage of her, and it caused for them to have a falling out. So there's like
sure.
a side of the family when I was a child I did not have a relationship with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I've only started to work on as an adult.
Yeah.
How many siblings did he have?
So my dad just had one brother. Okay. From his mom and his dad, but when his father left, he went to North Carolina and started a family. So like I know he has like a sister who like lives in Austin who I've never met in my life, like a half sister who I've never met in my life.
Oh wow.
But I had like a whole part of my family that weren't a part of my life just because I was associated with the things he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's even like the same case with my half siblings from my dad's first marriage. I didn't really, they were spread out all over the country. Like I have a sister who lives in the Bay Area in Marin County. Mm-hmm. I have a brother who lives, my brother, older brother, half brother lives in Cape Cod or on Cape Cod, sister in Boston and a sister in Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until really he passed away that I started having a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you're like putting all these pieces together.
Yeah. Sure. And I think it was, you know, I think it was hard for them because I think he also was trying to borrow money from them, and
there's so many feelings there.
Yeah. 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 And so I think that was really hard.
Yeah.
But I just there's something about my family where there's just like, we're like scam magnets. There's just like scammers all around us. Like my grandpa my mom's side,
mm-hmm.
was like a big gambler. He like wasted, apparently this is what I'm told, like wasted a lot of my grandmother's money that she inherited on gambling, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And on his deathbed,
mm-hmm.
told all of us that he had been married before and had a kid that we didn't know about.
What?
So, like, my mom
did
was like,
"Say the kid or anything?"
Yeah, yeah. We,
oh,
we,
okay,
we,
okay.
We met her.
I thought he was like, "And you'll never know."
So, like, my mom was like in her 50s or something. Like, I think she was in her 50s or maybe 60s, and he was like on his deathbed. He's like, "By the way, I was married before and I had a child. You have a sister, and she lives in Dallas as well." And so,
oh
like, and so my mom and her sister met their half sister at my grandfather's funeral.
Oh no!
Oh my god!
That's like a crazy movie.
And like, so my aunt Donna is the half sister they met. She had a daughter named Allison, spelled with one L and one S.
Yeah.
My aunt Mary has a daughter named Allison, spelled with one L and one S. What is going on?
It's a genetic spell.
Something weird.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, you said in the beginning the Lawrenceville mentor?
Yeah.
So that guy, do you feel like that guy taught your dad how to be a scammer?
No.
Okay.
I think this guy was like, not at all. Okay. I think this guy was like a mentor when he was just a kid.
Yeah.
And
just telling what was fancy. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he just like gave him an opportunity to go to this school. Like, and for like a large part of his life, I think my dad was like a good person and like was honest.
Yeah.
I just think as he got older and he just got desperate.
Yeah.
And like panic does set in.
Sure.
Like it's this way of, and I've been in that one, I'm like, oh my God, my bank account's really low. Like what are we gonna eat? Like you just have this moment where you live a life. It's really fun to be comfortable. It's really nice to have an ease.
Mm.
And then you have a lot of hope, and then at some point, things just get tougher and tougher and tougher.
At some point, you're selling your
American Apparel bodysuits for $10 on Poshmark. That's what I'm doing.
Miss Smith. I know.
Like, really?
I'm paying for things in gift cards. It's fine.
Yeah.
Or our Patreon.
But I think because of that, like growing up, like I feel like because my parents were pretending to like be something that they weren't, yeah. I think inherently like I did the same thing.
Yeah, how'd you know? An actor. That was how you did it.
Yeah. And so like
but
I got to,
kids just learn from parents.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And like I was lucky enough to get to go to this boarding school, but like my parents couldn't afford to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So like my godfather paid for 1 year and
okay.
like my dad had a family friend pay for the other year that I went. But like getting to leave and remove myself from that mm-hmm. situation was like the best thing that ever happened in my life because
yeah.
I was able to escape it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that carried through into college because in college I was like very preppy and I would like be super peacocky. Like I would wear like a lot of pastels and
sure.
stuff. And I think it's like I was like trying to overcompensate for something I was not.
Sure.
Like I joined a fraternity where there were mainly guys who were like pretty well off
mm-hmm.
because I like wanted to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think like individually, like they're all like nice people, but like I wanted to be their friends for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could say the biggest scammer of all was me.
No,
I can't say that. We cannot
I'll
say
never
that.
Say that. You're so lovely. Well, I think also like, well, it's so hard because I think one of the toughest things when you're a kid is when you start to put the pieces together.
Oh, yeah.
But you're too young and you don't have enough power yet to solve a problem.
Sure.
And it's your parents' problem, so you can't solve it. So it must have been when you started to, what was it like when you started to figure all of this out? Like, what age were you when you were like, I don't like, this feels weird?
I think when I started to date Jenny, my wife, when we were first dating, I think I was honest. She was the first person I was ever truly honest with
mm-hmm.
about like what my family situation was
mm-hmm.
and not judging me
mm-hmm.
for something that I just like was born into and grew up in mm-hmm. like made me way more comfortable with it. Cause mm-hmm. I think I had this guilt or shame associated with like the choices my parents made when
yeah.
I was a kid.
Which have nothing to do with you.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's so hard.
I think that's when I first started coming to terms with it. And then when my dad finally passed away and I started getting closer to my half siblings is I think when I started like putting more pieces together. Like you guys will love this. When I was visiting my sister Nancy in Flagstaff, Arizona, and she was this was a very casual conversation for something that like totally shattered my reality.
Okay.
She said, "Hey, do you remember that road trip you went on when you were 12 years old?" And I was like, "Yeah, we, you know, the whole family came to visit you in Flagstaff, Arizona, and then we drove up to the Bay Area and I visited my sister who lived in Berkeley. That was a really fun trip. We saw the Grand Canyon, we saw the Golden Gate Bridge."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Well, the reason you were on that road trip is that your dad was checking your mom into Betty Ford for alcoholism.
Oh my gosh.
And your dad did not think he could raise you and your brother by himself.
Oh my gosh.
So he was trying to pawn us off onto one of my sisters."
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Reality shattered.
Yeah.
Wow. What a
She's
scammer.
Like, "But I'm glad you had a fun trip."
"Wasn't going to take you, wasn't going to raise you myself, but I'm glad you liked the Grand Canyon."
that's
so
insane.
Mm-hmm.
Did it work? Is your mom okay?
Yeah, she's fine.
Okay.
She'll probably get so mad if I tell people this, but she was kicked out of Betty Ford.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
We're both soaps.
That's great.
She kicked out for good behavior?
No, she got kicked out after 2 weeks for getting a fight with someone
yes.
in the
great.
Community room. She got in an argument with someone
it
about
happens.
What they were going to watch on TV.
Yeah.
It happens when you're not drinking.
And so she went to another rehab facility and got clean. But she's been sober for like 25 years. I'm very proud of her. She's amazing.
How many do you have, Sue?
12.
I
have. What do you have?
Almost in December, 8.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people in my family have addiction issues, so I'm just like hyper aware of it. I do drink, but I'm also like
mm-hmm.
super
I told you, James, I was sober early.
Yeah,
you're
I think
one of my first friends I told.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I have a drinking problem. You're like, okay, Caitlin.
Great.
Yeah.
Can we just do the improv scene now?
Yeah.
We're on stage.
Oh, yes, and this, but.
Wait, did your mom ever work?
She did some, like, interior design work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For a few years, but not really. I think. It was two things. Like, I think she was conditioned to being taken care of her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think my dad was just, like, insistent that she would not work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both were, like, really detrimental to, like, our mm-hmm. whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I remember being at this unbelievable boarding school one week and then going home for spring break. And we didn't have electricity.
Whoa.
In our house
yeah,
for like
sense.
3 weeks.
That's mm-hmm. such a mind fuck.
And it was like a nice house in a nice neighborhood. They just like couldn't pay the electricity bill.
Oh my yeah. God.
Yeah.
So how was any money made in the house?
I mean,
how did you guys
How'd she keep that rolls?
I know.
Oh, she kept it till like I was 12 and then she had to sell it because it was too expensive to, I think my dad like did like consulting work for people. Like mm-hmm. there were people he knew, you know, little things here and there, but it was super inconsistent. Like, we either had money or we didn't.
Did it give you anxiety as a kid that you didn't know what was...
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because my husband had a lot of anxiety as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And he is now... we have just... Having our life be very stable and kind of clearly sort of planned out makes him feel very safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Wow, thank you.
I love this. Well, James, it makes me love you even more.
It does. Same, actually. Very endearing.
It's so hard. Yeah. Just because we like study scammers sort of all this, but you don't really hear about how this affects ever the child. Like, we hear about how children are affected when we talk about friends and what your therapy was like and how was your therapy and that sort of thing. But to have this need to like look so perfect and put together that created such an instability in your growing up. I mean, it just must have been so scary. When you left boarding school, did you go right to college?
Yeah. So,
or was that a question of where you would go to college? Was that stressful?
Yeah, there was a question. Like I was pretty adamant that I was going to go to public school because I didn't think my parents could pay for a private college.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to find a way, blah, 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 blah. But when I was there, I would have to go to the bursar's office like every couple months and they would essentially hold me hostage
really?
In the office until
your parents paid.
My dad sent them a check.
Ugh.
And I tried to transfer out of school after my first year because I got pretty good grades in college. I did not get great grades in high school. And I was like, I'm going to transfer to a public school in Texas so my parents can afford for me to go to school. And they wouldn't release the transcript ever because I was always behind on my tuition.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
now,
crazy.
And that must have just been just such a stressful thing to bear while you're just trying to go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah, for
hard.
Sure.
And it's a lot of these are like extreme real world adult issues.
Yeah.
When your brain is still growing.
Yeah.
You're still so. Do you have, are you good with money now? Like, are you serious or do you take things, do you have like touchy spots with money?
Well, you're an actor.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I try to be. I tend not to splurge on things, but I think the nature of our business, we have to spend so much money just to sort of like get an even point of entry.
Yeah.
On classes, on subscriptions, on maintenance for
eyelash extensions.
Yeah.
Yes. But are you like somebody who'd rather like cook at home and save?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm also the type of person that could eat the same thing every day. I'm super boring in that respect.
Yeah. My husband's like that. He's like, he's just very conservative with how we spend. And I'm always like, let's just go out. He's like, we don't have any money to go out. What are you doing? I'm like, let's splurge. He's like, with what?
Yeah.
Gift cards. Yeah.
What is your feeling towards your dad now?
I love him. I mean, the thing is, like, I was very lucky in the sense that, like, from my dad's first marriage, the oldest child got all of the love and the attention. My oldest sister had an incredible relationship with him, and it was the same exact thing for me. He just had like a thing for the firstborn kid.
Oh, wow.
And so I got all the attention and the love I could ever want from him, but my brother was completely ignored.
Mm.
And so I have this unexpected bond with my oldest sister because we have a very similar relationship with our dad, similar dynamic, where everybody else has serious issues, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I love him, but I just, you know, I think he, you know, was just a guy that lost his way. Mm-hmm. But I also think about how the first like 23, 24 years of my life, every decision I made in my entire life was for his approval.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah,
I went to this boarding school partly because he wanted me to, but also like I wanted to get out of my situation at home, and he wanted me to play football because he was this like stud football player in high school and college. And I was on the team, but I never played because I was neither fast nor strong nor aggressive.
Same.
All the things you need to play football.
Nor wanted to play.
Like, I remember this one time I was standing on the sidelines at a game, and it was in it was a game that had been like pretty rough, and like it was like a battle. So like everybody on the team had like cuts on their arm and like mud all over their uniform and grass, and my uniform was pristine. And this is the saddest fucking thing ever. When nobody was looking, I went and I picked up clumps of mud and grass and I rubbed them on my uniform.
Yes.
Because you're a performer. You do it for the stage. It's theater.
But yeah, everything I did was for his approval. So like when I was at this college, I like didn't allow myself to have really valuable friendships because I was trying to constantly prove that I belonged there. Mm-hmm. I was like so involved in college. I was like the president of my fraternity, and I think like everybody in my fraternity hated me when I was a president. I was like in student government.
You're working very hard.
Yeah, I was like playing like club sports and things like that. I was doing all these different things because I felt like I had to prove that I belonged there. Because I felt like I didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And also, if, like even if somebody
syndrome.
Was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Even if somebody's like, James, it's okay. You'd be like, okay, no thanks. Like when I've been in that set, when someone's like, you don't have to work so hard. I'm like, no, I do. And you can't fucking tell me not to because I'm going for it.
Right.
Like there's also that when you're in that place, nothing anybody can say will stop you from just continuing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the people that I hung out with, specifically the guys in my fraternity, thought that I was like better than them or above them, but it was like the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought I didn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
And did your brother go to any boarding schools?
No. That's also like the really shitty thing is like my parents gave me every opportunity to do what I needed to do to succeed, and he got largely ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to community college in Dallas, and he now lives in New York.
I know. I met him. He's so nice. Yeah. I met him at 30 Rock.
Yeah, he works as a set dresser on TV shows now.
He's so cool.
And he's incredible, and he has an amazing boyfriend who I love, and I'm so happy. But I think his growth, both like as a person, but also like his emotional maturity, it took such a long time for him to develop that. He was very much a late bloomer, and I think it's because he was not given the same opportunities that I was to like learn those lessons.
But you've taken really good care of him as an older brother. I've seen like you,
you
very much like put your arm around him and bring him into.
Yeah. When he first moved to New York, I was like such a helicopter parent.
I know.
It was so bad. He was like living.
I thought it was so sweet. I thought it was actually great. Like it's a really nice thing as a sibling to see the need and the deficiency, like see where you're lacking and to say like, well, let me help you and.
Sure.
Pull you in.
And I think part of that is like that I love him more than anything, but also like I feel guilty that I was given so much and he was,
of course,
you know, wasn't getting anything. You got the, you know, the fuzzy end of the lollipop, as they say, short end of the stick.
Oh, yeah.
But like I remember when he first moved to New York, I'm only like 2 years older than him, but like he would take the subway to work or he would go out for the night and I'd be texting him like every half hour being like, are you okay? Is everything all right?
Aww.
Please be safe out there.
Oh, because you're a good guy.
I don't know what I'm going to do if I have kids.
Aww.
It's going to be bad.
It's hard. But you know what? I will tell you, kids, they grow as you grow. So when you have a newborn, they know nothing and you know nothing. So it's great.
It's good to know.
I only know as much as I need to know for a 2-year-old right now.
Love it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Wait, I just have one more question.
Sure.
Your brother, James Coker, does he go by James Coker?
No, he's always gone by his middle name, Heath.
Heath Coker.
Cool name.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
Okay. This whole time I was wondering.
Do you feel like you have to keep checking your like social just in case something pops up suddenly?
Like credit report?
Yeah. Is that stressful?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I check my credit report every month. You kidding me?
Okay, that's it. Yeah, I don't know when I checked mine last.
But yeah, our family are scam magnets. I got my mom's. I'm 50% sure being scammed by this person right now, who I cannot talk about because I don't want to be sued for libel. But okay.
But scammed how?
I can't tell you. I don't even want to.
How are you going to tease us?
I can tell you off the air,
but I really respect that. Okay, I really respect it.
Scammers everywhere, man.
Scammers are everywhere.
Scammers be scamming.
How does your wife feel about this? Do you ever talk about, is she like?
You know, I think she feels bad for me. Mm-hmm. I think she's like very, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she was very lucky to have very supportive, stable parents as mm-hmm. a kid. And, you know,
yeah.
is just there for me. But she's also very good about looking out for my best interests mm-hmm. or if like, you know, making sure I follow up about certain things mm-hmm. and also making sure I don't feel bad about certain things.
Yeah.
And
there's like,
whatnot.
Yeah. There's like that funny responsibility as a spouse.
Yeah. She's incredible. I don't know what I'd do without her.
I know. She's amazing.
Spouses are good.
Yeah. Spouses are good.
Hey, spouses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you have to come on like a year from now and tell us how the scam with your mom shaked out. Give
okay.
us a follow-up.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I can, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about it off the air if you have time.
Well, I will.
Of course. Yeah.
100%.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you,
James.
Thank you.
This is such a joy.
What a treat.
And where can so people fun. Find you?
Yeah.
You can find me.
Can they buy your website?
My website is jameswcoker.com. You can check me out on Instagram at thisjamescoker, on Twitter at thisjamescoker.
Mm.
And coming out very soon, Marshall Stratton and I did a web series for the new UCB Innovation Inc. show with
cool.
Nerdist. I think our first episode comes out in episode 102. So look for Crypto Boys with a Z.
That's so funny.
In UCB and Innovation Inc. It's about cryptocurrency. And I think it's going
to
be great.
Can't wait to see it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anosh.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
We appreciate it. Guys, we love you and we love your scams. If you had any experience like this or want to chat about
you've
it.
You've got family scammers.
Yes.
Just email us.
We love you.
At scamwildpodcast@gmail.com. We're scamwildpodcast on all of the Instagram and everything.
And you can always call us because I need phone calls to keep me going. It's 347-509-9414.
Yes. And we're on Patreon mm-hmm. and TeePublic at scamwildpodcast.
Yeah. Get yourself a Daddy Fucks tea.
Yes. Get a Daddy Fucks tea for the holidays.
For the holidays. Happy holidays, Daddy.
Daddy. We'll see you
okay.
next week.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.